us pray. Lord, there is no turning back. Put in our hearts a desire to constantly follow you. But not just that, God. Help us to be disciples that also is able to disciple others. May we all be able to hear your voice. May you be the one who speaks through us. And may we all become sources of hope for this community. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are right now in this time where we are trying to remember and learn who we are as a congregation and as a church that is rooted in doing God's will. And one of the things that is beautiful too is to learn as United Methodist people, we have different ways and opportunities to grow in our faith. And we have gone through all of that so we remember who we are. You are aware of what your denomination, right? What is it? United Methodist. United Methodist. Very good. And as United Methodists, there are several things that we have learned and we have embraced. One of them, let me see, I think we're working on the pressing. All right. The first one is about learning what is our head, our heart, and our hands. We remember that we are a denomination that connects what we think with our emotions, and that brings us a consequence in how we act. Also, as Methodists, we are aware about grace. We talk about how that prevenient grace is working in our hearts, then that justifying grace is the one that comes and connects us with God, and then sanctifying grace that helps us to keep growing. As Methodists, we also value this statement. I like it a lot what Wesley says. He says, I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forward in mission and creates authentic community in which each person can be what? Unleashed. Remember that term? Unleashed through the empowerment of the Spirit to fulfill God's creational intentions. That's what Wesley said. And also we learn how this connection between what is going on in our life and our salvation, that has an impact in mission. And because it has an impact in mission, it also transforms our lives. It's when we are serving God, it also helps us to grow in our faith. We also learn that as Christians, we are risk takers. It means we're doing things that we believe strongly. We cannot do it in our own. And it's true, guys. We cannot do it in our own. It needs to be through the Holy Spirit, and we take that risk. But we need to remember what it means that we have a kingdom vision. We're connected with God. And last week, we talked about this big word. Can you say it? Connectionalism. Connectionalism. We're connected with each other, but to be able to connect with each other, first of all, we connect with the truth of God. Now, today, probably this is one of those statements and understandings and knowledge that and doctrine of the Methodists that I enjoy the most. And it's the fact that we are disciples who are also called to disciple others. I don't know how many of you here are aware of the mission of the United Methodist Church. If I ask you, what is the mission of our denomination, what would you answer? Tom, you're not allowed to talk. Who? Who, Carla, right? I can see you. Yeah, give me five. It is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for what? For the transformation of the world. Local churches provide the most significant area through the disciple making occurs. That's all of us, okay, to make disciples. Now, it says local churches. What's a local church? Us, right? No, is Northern Hills a local church? Yes. So we are in the very best place to be able to make disciples. It's an outstanding opportunity, an outstanding ministry. Now, all of these, all of what we're talking here has a foundation in the scripture. Guys, we have been talking about this scripture many times before. Let's just make a little bit of a review about that. First of all, when we talk about this great commission of that we call it like that, it tells us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Many times we start in the word, therefore. But where is the real beginning? At the top. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So anytime that we are going to be able to go and serve God, we need to remember that where we are, God's authority is already there. So let me ask you this question. Does God's authority is in your house with your family? Is God's authority in the place where you work? It's God's authority present in the store where you are purchasing things? It's God's authority where you are driving, even though the guy that was in front of you crossed you and caught you there? Is still God's authority in that place? Yes. According to the scripture, everywhere in this world where we are, even outside of this world, God has authority on that place. So whenever we are called to disciple, we need to remember that we are called to a place that belongs to God. So you go with that assurance and confidence, knowing I'm standing up in a place that belongs to who? To God. So wherever you walk, walk with that confidence. I love that about our ESL volunteers. Is there any of our ESL volunteers here? Or anyone who has been? Okay, you guys, especially those who have been also in the school. I love when you guys go there, and I pray that while you are walking inside of the school, even though it's a secular environment, according to the scripture, does the place of the school, does God has authority in that place? Yes. So when we are walking in there, I pray every time that you're walking saying, in the name of Jesus, I take that authority given by God to me and I bless this place. I bless this school. I bless the teachers. So the same thing in your house, the same thing in your family, the same thing in your job. I go to my house with my children and where they are asleep, I'm praying, not loudly. I'm just going. But I'm saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the bedrooms of my children. I take authority over their lives, and I pray a blessing upon them as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing as your job. If you're in a place where you're not allowed to pray, then in your brain you go, in the name of Jesus, I take full authority of my job and the people who work here, and I bless them. So that they can be able to discern the voice of God and be able to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go with that authority that God has given us. And then, this is where the things get confusing sometimes. We know what is an imperative, right? In the verb that is an imperative. How many imperatives you see here? I'm going to do a Spanish lesson here, guys. Imperative is an action that you need to do. What does it say there? It says two, right? It says go and then what? Okay, but this is a problem, guys. In the original, there are not two. In the original Greek, there is just one. Which one do you think is that one? It's actually make. It's disciple. Go is not an imperative. Go is actually more a consequence of disciple. So it says in there that the main verb and the main action where we need to focus is in disciple. It's not even make disciples. It's disciple. Go, baptize, teach. Let me explain you how that works. Let's create an imaginary scene. Let's say there is a teenager that is 14 years old who likes Legos and has a bedroom. And let's, in this imaginary scene, the teenager is not cleaning his room. And anyone who has stepped on a Lego, you know what I'm talking about. Your holiness gets tempted. So what happens is when you go with this imaginary teenager whose name starts with P and is bilingual, cute the kid, but sometimes, and you go and say, clean your room, imperative. How do you clean your room? Picking up Legos, dusting the furniture, and making your bed. The imperative is what? Clean. How you do that is by picking up Legos, by dusting, by making the bed. The same here. The imperative is what? Disciple. Disciple. Make disciples. Disciple. How do you do that? By going, baptizing, and teaching. Make sense? So what's happening here, guys, is many times, and I see a lot of media and a lot of people who focus on the go. And guys, we have talked about that. The go is not the main focus, because one way or another, you go, right? You're not staying in this chair for the rest of your lives. I mean, I know you like Northern Hills, this is pretty comfortable and so, but after noon, sometimes a little bit later than noon, I confess, you what? You go. We go all the time. So Jesus is telling this to the disciples, kind of saying, you know, guys, you're going to go anyway, but when you go, go with this mentality. Disciple, wherever you go, you disciple. You consecrate your goals. But then it says, go, and then how do you disciple? By baptizing. He's not talking about just going and telling people about the love of Jesus. It's baptizing. That's very deep. It means that you go as a disciple and you present yourself as an example of saying, I had a life that was broken. But there was a point that in God's mercy, I understand what baptism is. And it means that I'm in that water as a way to say, I'm dying to that life. I don't want to keep going in that life. I am bringing my life under all this water. And then I come back as a new creation through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptizing. So when we are proclaiming and discipling, it's about saying, you know, I had a horrible past that sometimes still tried to come and bite me today. But you know, I learned one thing. I learned that my past can be controlled, restored, transformed, and have hope again by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that, I have the power to wake up every morning, stand up, and say, God, this day is hard, but with your presence, I can keep going in the name of Jesus. I have the capacity to say, those places that are dark still in my heart, I know that when I bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can find hope again. So what I'm sharing to you is not that I'm the good girl who does everything right. I'm sharing you from a sinner who has experienced that redemption, and I'm looking forward for you to have that too. That's how we share that. Sometimes with words, sometimes with actions, sometimes by not saying anything and just walking next to that person and showing his love there. So that is what it is. Now, there is another aspect in here. It says, go and make disciples of what? All people who look just like me, eat Mexican tacos and salsa, gloria al Señor. That's what it says? No, what does it say? All nations. Now, let me explain something on that one, guys. It's not saying all the world. That's another word. If it says all the world, and that's sometimes what we understand, yeah, it sounds great because we talk about, okay, I'm going to go all over the earth and proclaim Christ. And I embrace that. We're going to Liberia, guys. At least go of all. But this is a little bit more challenging. What it's saying in the original is go of all ethnos, all ethnic groups. Now, to who was Jesus talking? What was their culture? Jewish, right? Now, do you think the Jewish, if Jesus says, you're going to go and talk to people from other culture, what were they going to say? Yay! No, what they were saying? No, they were like, we don't mix with those weirdos. You know, Jesus, no. And what he's saying in here is what? You're going to go and you're going to proclaim all nations. Meaning by that, wherever you go, and if you're walking, and it happens that the person that you find is not the person of the same culture that you have, do I disciple that person, yes or no? Yes. What about the person I'm walking, but that person is not really my style? You know, like Herschel. This motorcycle guy, you know? I mean, Jesus, really? Can you speak in the motorcycle with all the wind? Can they even think? Yeah, I mean, and actually it's true. You pray more in the motorcycle. But am I called to go with him? Yes. So I'm called to go even with that one that makes me feel uncomfortable. And you know something that God enjoys to do? Where is he going to send you? with the one that you feel uncomfortable, like Peter, you know? Why not to send Paul? No, because you, Peter, needed to go. You are the one who needed to learn that that person that makes you feel uncomfortable is part of all nations who needs to be baptized like you. And at the end of the day, who's going to be transformed? The person, but you too. Both of us. So the call is that everyone, we go and we proclaim that on all nations. Now, how do we find that strength? How are we capable to do that? I wish you guys can write this because that's from the United Methodist discipline what that says who we are. First of all, it says our mission of making disciples is possible because it's a grace-filled response. That's very important. In other words, if we are capable to disciple, it's because we have been disciples. Now, if any of you here, you say, I don't get that, don't feel ashamed. Don't try to pretend you get it. It's good that you are in that place. So now you come to God and say, God, that grace that everybody's talking about, let me experience that. And when you get there, you will be able to understand more what it is. I love what John 1:16 says. For from his fullness we all have received what? Grace upon grace. What does it mean? It means that you and I get it. That the abundance of God's love is present. The abundance of his love is there. In the places that you feel broken, in the places that do not make sense, in the places where you're trying to figure it out in your life, the grace of God is there. We just open our arms and say, God, I need your grace today. Empower me through your grace. So when you are empowered through that, what will stop you? It's like when you are in love. Can you tell a person who is in love to stay quiet about it? No. They proclaim it all over the place. I'm in love. I'm in love. So think about God's grace. That's the point, is when you are empowered by that, nothing will stop you. I wish we could do this. We have been in Walmart, all of us, right? Sometimes it's a good experience. Sometimes it's a challenge, right? But one of the things I like is when the people who work there, they wear this. And it says, how may I help you? And usually, the majority of them, they know everything in the store. So you can be in one place and you're asking for something totally in the different department. And they know where that is. And they actually walk with you. The ones that are really good. But I wish we had something like this, but for the Christians, where we say, how may I bless you? How may I bless you? I would love to have a shirt that says Northern Hills United Methodist Church, and in the back, how may I bless you? Why we can do that? Because if we're working and living grace upon grace. So we go and we see the world not as a place who can fulfill me, but more as a place where I can serve and provide grace to others. Now, there are times when all of us, we get to that difficult spot where we're feeling dry, you know? But we know that the source of grace does not come by other people. We understand that my source of grace is who? God, who says that he's giving me grace upon grace. So that's where we start. Then the next section of how is this manifested, it says, our mission is expressed in God's covenant with Abraham and Sarah, in the exodus of Israel from Egypt, and in the ministry of the prophets. What does it mean? It means that we are part of that promise. What the scripture says with the prophets, they shall be my people, I will be their God. It talks about that when Abraham, God told him, can you count the stars? Can you count all of this? This, you're going to have a people that is bigger than that. That's my people. You and I are part of that. You are part of that promise. We belong in there. Then the next thing is this. Our mission is to be fully embodied in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is through the life of Jesus that we can see directly what it means to be loved by God. From the moments of the time when he was born, to his ministry, to the time of his death, and then his resurrection after that. I love this statement. I don't remember who said this. It says, our lives are transformed not by the blessings that God will give us, but by what he already gave. In other words, the reason why you and I are Christians is not, let me see what God can do for my life. It is, he already did that. You don't need to worry about knowing, do you think God is going to love me? He already loves you. Do you think he's going to forgive me? Yes, he already did. Do you think he's going to accept me? He already accepts you. Do you think he's capable to carry my sins? He already died on the cross for your sins. He's already given you eternal life. And in that real statement, that's where we have the foundation of our lives. So whatever happens after is just a consequence of that. Whatever happens. That's why Jackie had so much love. I mean, Jackie knew whatever happened on her life was a consequence of that grace. And that's why she embraced life with joy. She always smiled because she embraced that life with joy. And then the next part, it is that our mission is what? Experience in the ongoing creation of new people by the Holy Spirit. That's you and me. Probably if there is a picture or a selfie of our soul, that will be probably the selfie of our soul. The scripture says in Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I want you just to see that picture, how strong it is. In one place, that person is trapped in darkness. But you can see how now is a person that is alive in light. And that story, nobody can stop it. And it's because of this reality that we can fulfill what we read today in the scripture, in Romans 10. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they going to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet that bring good news. You see, this part of the scripture is actually a quote from the Old Testament. And it was by prophet Isaiah. And he was telling this to people who were already on exile in Babylon. And they didn't know what was going to happen with them. But Isaiah was reminding them the promise of God. And he was telling them, there will be a time when you will go back to home. You will go back to Jerusalem. You will be back in that temple. And you will proclaim the good news of God. And you see, today, that is a word that people need to hear. They need to hear there are good news for you, because there were good news for me too. And it's not about that the good news are not available, they are there. It's about us wanting to say, I want to be a disciple who disciples. And by that is just by me going to other places and telling my story. So can we do something today? Can you feel your feet? Do you feel them? Can you wiggle some of your toes? Can you feel your hands? Can you feel them there? You have them there for a purpose. You have them there for a spiritual purpose. There is a physical purpose, but there is a spiritual purpose. Is that you proclaim the good news. We touch many things. We go to many places. Can we just today say, God, take my hands, really. Take my feet. And let everywhere where I go become a place where I disciple. Amen. If that's what you want to do, just let's stand up together. And let's just consecrate our hands and feet for the Lord.